that it needs. The Bible is so simple that it takes preachers to help us misunderstand it. I think that's true sometimes. And the Bible is very simple, and the Word of God speaks about the simplicity that is in Christ. Sometimes we make it too complicated. So I want to share a simple message with you today about Christian living. We just have a word of prayer before we commence. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There's in Psalm 68 and verse 19, there's a very beautiful passage, a scripture there. And what I want to share with you tonight is the message is one simple word, and it is the word daily. Sometimes one word contains a tremendous amount of meaning and instruction for us. And in Psalm 68 and 19, my version says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." That's a wonderful promise. And we find as we seek God each day that he pours out blessings on us. Sometimes we don't even recognize them. We don't even know what God is doing, but he's always there waiting to bless his children. And then in Deuteronomy 33, 25, there's a promise to one of the tribes there, and it says, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And many years ago, I was asking the Lord for keys on Christian living. I'm not going to give you seven steps to success. I don't think that really works. But there are keys in the Word of God that will help us. And one of the problems is that Christianity is actually an everyday affair, not something that is limited to special occasions, to Sabbaths or Sundays or whenever. And then back again on Monday, you go back into the whirl of everyday life with the world, the flesh and the devil and all the rest of it, with hardly a moment left for Bible reading, prayer and serious reflection. And then we come back again on a Sunday, and some people just live, or Friday or Saturday, whenever you meet, and they just live on the experience of that one thing. But in the Word of God, I notice that there's a very key word there, and it is the word daily, the word daily. And Jesus gave us teaching about daily, and I want to speak about the word daily tonight. I'm going to give you nine simple keys which contain the word daily. And I do believe that if we can obey those scriptures or implement them within our lives, I believe that we will be fruitful and really much more successful Christians in what we do. You remember Jesus said in one place, "Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow is sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And so Jesus taught us that we should live a day at a time. And so the theme tonight is daily. And we need to return to just the simple scriptures which contain the word daily. Now, if you live daily, that doesn't, of course, preclude forward planning. But Psalm 96:2 says that we are to show forth his salvation from day to day. And so daily is something that involves all of us. And I want to share with you the things that the Lord tells us in his word that we should be doing daily. Now, thing is, fearful people live one day at a time, but the trouble is that their one day is always tomorrow. And someone said this, that worry is interest paid on trouble before the day in which it becomes due. Would you agree with that? And also, today is the first day of the rest of your life. So you have to make every day count in the things of God. And so there's a number of things there that will help us. So I'm going to give you these nine things. And I'm going to want to challenge you tonight, not to be a weekly Christian or an every other day Christian, but to be a daily Christian. And I'll show you the nine things that challenge us personally and then maybe one or two things that will help us together. So the first one I want to share with you is found in Numbers chapter 29 and verse 6. Numbers 29 and verse 6. And I love the order of how Jewish people did things in their daily lives and so on. And in Numbers 29:6, this actually comes in the instructions over the Feast of Trumpets, which Steve will be sharing with you next week. And there were certain things they had to do, certain offerings they had to bring. And in verse 6, it says, a kid of the goats and so on, beside the burnt offering of the month and his meat offering and the daily burnt offering, the daily burnt offering. And so a burnt offering was a very interesting thing, because the burnt offering is one of the five offerings that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus. And the burnt offering really speaks of the act of consecration or surrender, the act of consecration or surrender. If you're familiar with the offerings in Leviticus, some of them were voluntary. There was no compulsion. And some of them were compulsory. So the sin offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering, they were compulsory because they related to our relationship with God, which is spoiled through sin and trespass and so on. But the burnt offering spoke of consecration of self. And so there was to be a daily burnt offering. And so the daily burnt offering is a daily attitude of the believer maintained as a result of the act of consecration in surrender. So God is asking us to daily, to have a daily burnt offering and to consecrate ourselves daily unto him. And so if you go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and there's a general instruction there that Paul gave to believers. And as I say, in the life of the Jewish people, it was a daily burnt offering that was required, particularly in the Feast of Trumpets. In Romans chapter 12, as a result of the first 11 chapters, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what that means is that we are to present ourselves on the altar, but not just once, but we are to do it every day. Now, in the difference between in the Old Testament was that we are offering a living sacrifice. And the difference between a dead sacrifice and a living sacrifice is that if it's a living sacrifice, it could crawl off the altar very easily. We don't want to crawl off the altar. We want to stay on that altar as a daily burnt offering. So as we come to each day, we need to surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus at the beginning of each day and say, Lord, today I renew my consecration to you. That's something that we should do daily, a daily burnt offering, a daily burnt offering. And in the beginning of Luke's gospel, the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias, there's a beautiful scripture there. Zacharias gave a wonderful prophecy after God had released him from being dumb. And it's worth studying that prophecy. There's so much in it. And then in verse 75, it speaks about God delivering us from the hand of our enemies to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life, not weeks or months, but all the days of our life. So the first challenge is to be a daily burnt offering. Wasn't it Smith Wigglesworth who said, I want to burn up for Jesus. I want to be consecrated to him every day. So the first one is a daily burnt offering. And then the second thing that we need is to have a time of daily worship. Psalm 72, There's, and I'm going to give you these scriptures. Maybe you could just write them down and meditate upon them. But I believe our Christian life will be much richer and fuller and much more fruitful if we can do daily what perhaps many of us do not do daily, sometimes just weekly. And in Psalm 72:50, it says, "And daily shall he be praised." So a daily sense of worship. And you can find other places where this injunction comes. It's good to worship daily. And Mary and I try and pray daily, seek God daily. It's not always easy. But the psalmist said in another place, "Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever." So this is something that God wants us to do daily. He wants us to worship him and praise him. And in fact, I'll show you a very challenging verse in a moment. But in Psalm 61 and verse 8, the psalmist said, "So will I sing praise unto your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." So maybe many of us have offered vows to the Lord of the fact that we want him to use us, or we've made vows of how we're going to serve him. And praise is part of that. And he wants us to daily praise, worship him. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, I love the book of Daniel, which is a marvelous book, much of that being fulfilled today in prophecy. And Daniel was a wonderful man of God. And in Daniel 6, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says about Daniel, his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Isn't that wonderful? So he knew what it was to have a daily worship. Daily shall he be praised. And then the third one, the third thing we need to do is found in Psalm 86 and verse 3. Psalm 86 and verse 3 is a daily supplication. Daily, we should be seeking God to ask him about things that we want him to do in prayer. The psalmist in Psalm 86, which is a lovely psalm, he says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto you daily." And so we need to be those who daily supplicate the Lord and ask him to answer prayer for us daily. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, you remember the prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, "Give us this what? Give us this day our daily bread." And I've discovered there's nothing too big or too small to bring to the Lord each day. In fact, I'm naive enough that when I go into Reading to do banking, I always ask the Lord for a parking space that will help me to find somewhere to park. Very practical things. If we're buying clothes, Lord, you know which shop it's in. I don't want to waste time going around with all the worldly attitudes. You show me where to go to get the right clothes. There was a lovely story years ago of the late David Duplessis. And David Duplessis was helping two men who were very deceived. And every day he would pray and they would pray, and he would show them that his guidance was right and theirs was wrong. And these two men were deceived because they thought they were the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. Lance Lambert told me once that there's always two or three couples in Jerusalem who think that they're the two witnesses. And so he prayed each day. And one of these men needed a suit. And so David Duplessis prayed, and the Lord told him which shop to go to. A simple supplication. And so they went to this shop, and they looked all around the shop, and they could not find the suit. Nothing fitted this man. The reason, because he had rickets, and his body was out of trim. Somebody came onto the shop floor to find out what was going on. And he said to the shop person on the shop floor, "Please will you go up to the storeroom upstairs and you will find a box marked impossible. Will you please bring it down?" And so he went up to the storeroom, found the box marked impossible, and inside was a suit. They put that suit on the man with rickets, and it fitted him absolutely perfectly. Wouldn't fit anyone else because it was a skew-whiff suit. So the Lord knows how to answer prayer in all kinds of ways, a daily supplication. Number four, a daily vigilance. In Proverbs chapter 8, there's from verse 22 onwards, there's a beautiful picture of wisdom. And many scholars, I believe this is right, believe that this relates or refers to the pre-incarnate Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. It was the Lord possessed me in the beginning before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. And it's a kind of prophetic picture because Jesus was called the wisdom of God in the New Testament. And I can't go into that, but all these names that he was given are very interesting names. And in one of the verses here, in verse 34, he says this, the call of wisdom. Hearken unto me, O you children, and so on. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Isn't that lovely? And the Lord Jesus in eternity had that sort of fellowship with his Father, perfect communion. And it's good to be listening day by day, waiting for what the Lord wants to do. About a week ago, the Lord laid somebody on my heart who I hadn't seen for years, who was at the church that I used to be at. And I just could not get this person out of my spirit. I kept praying through the day. In the end, I thought, I must email them to find out why. So I sent an email and I said, I believe the Lord's showing me that I've got to pray for you, Romans 8:26. And isn't it lovely? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We pray then according to the will of God. And I felt this person was going through something difficult. So I emailed, really had no personal connection for a long time. And she emailed back straight away. She said, I've been going through a very difficult time. And she explained some of the things that she had gone through. Now, I wouldn't have known that unless there'd been a daily vigilance, watching daily at his gate. And so that's something that we should go know. And in Proverbs 8:30, if this is Jesus, which I believe it was, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And we are told to watch and pray. And I believe it's as we do that daily that God will give us a wonderful wisdom to know how we should live our lives and what we should do. Whether it's, you might be a preacher and you have to preach a message. I never argue about what God gives me to preach. Sometimes it's most unusual, but you preach it anyhow and you find out that it was God's word. And so in Psalm 56 and verse 1, the psalmist, and you remember David was often in distress. He said, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. And that's why we need to watch daily at the gate. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. And we all have enemies and they're getting stronger. Many of them are more vocal today. And so we need that daily vigilance to watch daily at his gate. And then there's something else that we should do, I believe, that's daily. And that is that we need to read God's word daily. I haven't got time to go into it all, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's a beautiful picture there of the wilderness journey of the children of Israel. And it says they were all under the cloud. They all came through the sea. It's a picture of being delivered from Egypt, of Holy Spirit baptism. And it says, as they went through the wilderness, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. Now you say, well, what was the food that they ate? And the food that they ate was something called manna. If I had time, which I haven't, I could give you a whole message on manna. And manna was something that kept them going. And in Exodus 16, the Lord as they went into the wilderness, they thought that they were starving and they didn't know what to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and you shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove whether you will walk in my law or not. And so they would go out, and they would go every morning, and they would take that manna. And my message on the manna is that we as Christians are to the manna born, if I can put it that way. We are to the manna born. And so they had to go out and take that manna. And the manna was a very, very wonderful thing. There's lots we can learn. I haven't got time to go into it all. But that manna came every morning. It was all around the camp. It was with the dew upon it. So the dew quickened it and made it palatable, speaking of the Holy Spirit. The head of the house was to gather it. They were to eat it according to their eating. Some could eat more manna than others. And one day's portion at a time, except on the sixth day. Why was that? Because the sixth day, the day then would have been the Sabbath, wouldn't it? And so they had to make that last. And God will always provide for the man who honors him by the keeping of one day in seven. And so there's lots of lessons. And there's all different kinds of manna. Some of it was baked for the strong, seethed for the weak, made into cakes for the children. There's so many different things about the manna. But we need to go out and to take the manna. And if they left the manna and didn't eat it, it stank. You remember that story? So you have to have fresh manna every day from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that manna in the Old Testament, we need to feed on the living word. And we need to feed on the written word as well. So there has to be a manna. And in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, and these are all to do with dailies. It's amazing, isn't it? Some words come through the scripture so often. But 2 Corinthians 4, 16, if I can just turn that up, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, there's a scripture there. It says, and Paul mentions this, he says, we do not faint, but though our outward man perishes. Do you find that when you get older? Do you find that? As you get a bit older, your outward man perishes. But he says, yet the inward man, the inner man, is renewed day by day. And part of that inner man is to feed our spirits and our souls and our minds with the word of God. So we need to make sure that we take manna. Number five is in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And many Christians don't do these things. They leave them off. They leave them out. And one of the messages that I believe is missing in the church today is the taking up of our cross and following Jesus. Denial of self. Jesus spoke of this in all the Gospels. And in Luke 9, 23, he put it this way. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny yourself? It means to say no to things. And if we can't say no, I believe we're in a dangerous position. And to take up his cross. Now, the other Gospels don't say this, but Luke says to take up his cross daily and to follow me. The taking up of the cross is a missing message in the church. It's dying to self. It's denying me and mine and doing what the Lord wants. And someone said, taking up the cross is where my will and the will of God cross. So there's I, and you put a cross across it, and you cross I out, and you do the Lord's will each day. And according to Philippians 3, the more you die to self, the more you know his resurrection power. Because Paul spoke about being made conformable unto his death, that I might know the power of his resurrection. And so the Christian life is dying to self. And Jesus said in another place, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So God will give us many, many opportunities to die to self. He'll put holes in front of our path for us to fall into. A lot of people go around them and avoid them. And then they wonder why they're not really flowing in the spirit. They're just living in the natural man all the time. But taking up the cross and applying the cross is something that we need to do daily. The more we die to self, the more we know his resurrection. Okay, the sixth one is in Acts 17 and verse 11. Acts 17 and verse 11. And there's a lovely daily here, which I believe all of us need to do, particularly in these dark days. In Acts 17 and verse 11, Paul came to a place in Thessalonica, and it says they were more, Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. How often? They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And I say to people when I preach, you check it out, make sure that it's in the word of God. And we need to search the scriptures daily. We need to know the scriptures. We need to know them off by heart. We need to know what is in our scriptures. Don't just be a New Testament Christian, but be an Old Testament. Same God, not a different God. We need to know what's in both covenants, both testaments, and apply it together and live in the good of it. We need to know the promises, and you will never break God's promises by leaning on them. Amen. You'll never break them by leaning on them. Standing on the promises. Someone said once, we sing standing on the promises when we're actually sitting on the premises. I think that's a good way to put it. But we need to stand on those promises. And there are wonderful promises. And we don't live by explanations. We live by the promises of God, which are exceeding great and precious and will help us. And we could, I could share for hours how the promises of God have kept us going, and we can stand on them. And there's a promise for every aspect of your life, for your family, for your job, for your children, for your church, for your career. You will find something from the promises of God. What a wonderful example the Bereans were. And if we would read his word, we will not be deceived. And the word of God in 2 Thessalonians says, because they received not the love of the truth, and then God handed them over to deception. So we have to know the truth. And you have to know it better than Satan knows it. Satan knows scripture, but he never quotes it properly. Amen. We have to know that it is written, it is written, it is written. And rightly divide the word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, number six, then, that was a daily searching. Number seven is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 31. And it's not dissimilar, excuse me, to one of the others that we looked at. But 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31, Paul says something very interesting here. I don't know whether you've ever seen a lot of these people on TV who claim to be apostles. Have you seen some of those? Well, they need to read the job description in the Word of God. Because the job description is not particularly pleasant. And there's a whole host of things. And job descriptions of ministry are in the Word of God. And a lot of people don't fit the job descriptions. But Paul says here, why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. I die daily. And so it's not just reckoning yourself dead with Christ, but are we prepared to die daily? Think what Paul went through for Jesus. There's a whole list of the things that he went through. If you go through 2 Corinthians 11 at the end, I mean, it's a fantastic list of things that he went through. And he five times he received 40 stripes, three times beaten with rods, once he was stoned, three times suffered shipwreck. I mean, just one of those would probably finish me for life. In journeyings often, and all other things, weariness, painfulness, watchings. And then he says, besides those things that are without, which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I can tell you just the care of one church is enough to send someone to an early grave if you don't have the grace of God. But he said, I die daily. And so we need to die daily. And think what Paul went through for Jesus. Our difficulties are so insignificant. So insignificant. So let me give you a promise of what Paul said, in case we're going through it. Maybe you've got opposition. Maybe you've got people coming against you. But this is what Paul said in Romans 8:18. Beautiful verse. He said, sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So if you're going through it and you're having to die daily, always bear in mind that what we have to look forward to is almost inexplicable in human terms. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. What a wonderful future. And so it's worth, isn't it, dying daily, because we know what comes ahead. And so God is looking for people who are willing to live for him despite whatever it costs. Number eight, there's just a couple more. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. And we've already looked at this. Besides those things that are without, that come upon me daily. So I've called that a daily care of duty. Responsibilities and discipline are dirty words today, but our families, our jobs, our homes, our finances, and our ministry are daily responsibilities before God, and we are accountable to him and to each other. And Jesus said that that those who are dutiful in small things, he will give big things to. And so we need to be those who exercise our responsibilities, whether it's our children, ministering to our children, discipline, our jobs, our homes, doing them in a godly way, that which comes upon us, and so on. And someone said this once, that duty fulfilled is blessing secured. I like that. Duty fulfilled is blessing secured. And so we need to be those who are dutiful. Do we exercise our duty in the fellowship if we belong to one? Do we do properly what we should do within our homes? Exercise things properly. And the Psalm 104, man goes forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. And so our daily jobs and our daily duties are extremely important. And then the final one I want to look at today is, I call it a daily exhortation. A daily exhortation. A daily exhortation. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. And I love the book of Hebrews, not the least because it was written to Hebrew Christians. That's why it's called Hebrews. Not like the preacher who said, why does God like tea? Because of Hebrews. Hebrews 3:13. There's some wonderful warnings in Hebrews, and they were the Jewish believers. They were really going through it. They were under huge pressure, and they were tempted to give up. And in Hebrews 3:13, in verse 12, the writer of Hebrews says, take heed, brethren. I've got a booklet called Take Heed. There's a lot of take heeds in the Bible. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But what are we supposed to do? Verse 13. But one another, not exhaust one another, but exhort one another daily. We are there to encourage one another daily. Daily is called today. Daily, we are to encourage one another. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceitful. Satan is a deceiver, and he can deceive so easily. But if we can practice daily exhorting one another, I believe we'll all be kept on our toes. And we need to do exhortation. Keeping each other on our toes is a daily ministry. It always isn't always saying nice words, but it's doing what's best in the Lord. It can involve correction. And correction is a necessary form of acceptance. And part of exhortation is meeting together, which COVID has very much kiboshed. And in Hebrews 10:25, let me show you that verse there. He says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but to exhort one another, and even more so as you see the day approaching. Think what Thomas missed when he missed the meeting. We are not to do this. Even more so, is not only missing God's blessings corporately, but is actually disobeying his words. And I want to encourage you, get back to meeting face to face. There's nothing really to substitute for that. So we are to encourage one another and exhort one another. Pick up the telephone, ring somebody up, encourage them, ask them how they're doing. Make a list of people. Once in the church I pastored, the Lord said to me, phone up this lady in the church. I had no reason to phone her. And I phoned her up and she picked up the phone the other end. And I said, I just phoned you up because the Lord told me to. And she burst into tears. I said, well, what are you distressed about? And she said, I really was going through a bad time. I felt that the Lord didn't love me. And I said, Lord, if you really love me, cause someone to pick up the phone and give me a ring. Isn't that lovely? So sometimes it's just obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So we are to exhort one another. We are to exhort one another. Correction, discipline, and so on. The early church, let me just finish with, we want and see, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you love someone, you'll exhort them and encourage them and correct them. Now, I want to finish in the book of Acts, just to read you a couple of verses, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And in the early church, they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Guess how often they did it? Hallelujah. Daily. They did it daily. They met daily. They met, broke bread from house to house, and they met. So we can use our homes as well. And it says, the result of that, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Isn't that wonderful? I believe we should try and meet as often as we can to meet daily. And the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. So really, that's my message to you today. I'll just repeat them again. A daily burnt offering, a daily worship, a daily supplicational prayer, a daily vigilance, watching to see what's going on, watching at his gate, listening, keeping our eyes open for what's going on, a daily cross, dying to ourselves, taking up our cross, a daily searching of God's word. We need to know God's word. A lot of the problem is ignorance. My people are destroyed through lack of knowledge, the prophet Hosea said. Daily dying, being prepared to suffer for Jesus in difficulties, a daily dying, a daily care of duty, taking up and doing what we should do each day, praising the common things of life, its goings out and in, the hymn says. And then finally, a daily exhortation. Oh, what a difference that will make, of coming alongside someone, exhorting them and encouraging one. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He comes alongside and helps, the Parakletos, the one called alongside to help. And he expects us to do that with each other. So use your telephone, send someone a letter, send them an email, send them something that will encourage them. And I believe that will help us to be obedient to God. So may we be daily Christians, not weekly Christians or monthly Christians or every other day Christians, but Lord, help us in Jesus' name to be those who operate daily. And in being daily Christians, we'll be doing what Jesus taught us to do, to walk daily with him. And we shall know fruitfulness and the church will know growth and blessing. Amen. God bless you.